interesting that you have gotten into this field, which has always been of great interest to me, and you call it zero point. Explain that.
The term zero point is being used in modern physics as pertains to quantum theory and the idea that particles, they move as waves of probability. And if you add up all the potent pathways of a particle through space, if you add up all the energies of those particles, those pathways, it turns out there's this huge amount of energy latent within the quantum vacuum or space itself. And so that's called the zero-point fields in physics today, okay? My use of the term zero-point, though, is actually based on Madame Blavatsky's book published in 1888 called The Secret Doctrine.
Yes.
And Blavatsky has this most unusual statement. She says, material points without extension, meaning a zero point, are the materials by which the gods and other invisible powers clothe themselves in bodies. Now, this is very peculiar, but what this is suggesting, according to the Secret Doctrine, any living being has a zero point center.
And wasn't she described as the grandmother of all Western occultism?
Yes, yeah. Manly Hall described the Secret Doctrine as the magnus opus of the literature of the modern world.
And she was way ahead of her time, too.
An incredible woman who kind of traveled widely and wrote so extensively and was so widely studied in Eastern and Western mystical traditions. So in the Secret Doctrine, she says the Secret Doctrine isn't my teaching, it's the perennial wisdom teaching. But it's actually based on these stanzas of Dzan, which she says go back, firstly in Tibetan Buddhist origin, but further she says go back to Atlantis. And the stanzas of Dzan, book one of the Secret Doctrine, is called Cosmogenesis. And it deals with the creation or genesis of the cosmos, so the creation of the universe. So my most recent book explains the cosmogenesis and metaphysics of the Secret Doctrine that Blavatsky was articulating like over a century ago in 1888. And she predicted at that time, she said, no scientist will believe what I'm saying in this era, but in the century to come, they'll realize that Secret Doctrine has not been exaggerated or invented. And so my most recent work is a comparative studies of Blavatsky's Secret Doctrine and the newest concepts in modern physics concerning string theory and holographic theory.
I was going to say, how does she compare? I mean, here she was well over 100 years ago. How did her theories and ideas compare with modern science of today?
Absolutely astonishing, and I'll give you some for instances.
And she didn't have the equipment to work with. She didn't have computers. She had just her brain.
Well, I mean, she says that she drew from the ancient stanzas and the different esoteric traditions. But yes, it's incredible what she articulated. So some of the first points, like the first idea that she explained, is what today we call vacuum genesis. That before creation happened, in a way, everything was absorbed in non-being. There was, in a sense, nothingness, and that was the quantum vacuum. And the modern concept of the vacuum is that the vacuum isn't simply empty, but it's simultaneously the plenum, containing all possible particles and forces in a latent state. So that's the paradox of the void plenum, which is the quantum vacuum. Okay, that's a modern concept in physics. Now, back in 1888, Blavatsky was saying the same thing. She was saying space, which scientists think is empty, is only seemingly empty to the finite mind, but really it is the plenum containing all the forces and particles of nature in a latent state. So Blavatsky had that notion of creation out of nothingness, and that the root principles that are seemingly void or empty really are the plenum. So that was a first point of similarity.
And you believe this, Dr. Holmes, somehow all ties into the ability of the human consciousness to tap into what could be out there in the zero point?
Well, let me come to the zero point. I was saying about like vacuum genesis, and the next concept, and I'll tie it right back into consciousness studies.
All right.
The second point she says is that she said that the universe begins its differentiation from a point, which she called the zero point. Now, in modern science, we now believe if you trace the universe back to its origin, it collapses back to a singularity, and that it emerged from a point source 10 to the minus 33 centimeters. That's at the Planckian length. Okay? So we now believe the universe emerged from an infinitesimally small point. Well, that, again, was what Blavatsky said in 1888. I mean, it's also what the Kabbalists have said for hundreds and even thousands of years. But Blavatsky said it in 1888. So this idea of the point source origination of the universe. Now, if we take the framework of Blavatsky's secret doctrine, you see, I explain how the microcosm and the macrocosm work on the same principles. So a human being is a microcosm and embodies the same principles of design and creation, I would argue, as embodied in the macrocosm, the universe. So just as Blavatsky says the universe came out of nothingness and it emerged from a point source, I would say similarly, human beings emerge out of nothingness, and that we have a zero-point center, which is the first, and that, in a way, that center of ourselves, in the Vedas, you would describe it as the jiva atma, meaning the individual self. In the Bhagavad Gita of India, Krishna says, I am the self seated in the hearts of all beings. And the idea is you have a jiva atma, which is like a spiritual spark centered within the heart space. So that, in a way, is your zero point center, is this kind of spiritual spark within the heart, and there's a vacuum within the heart. I argue there's actually a physics to the human heart. And within the higher dimensions of the heart, you have a jiva atma, which is like a point source, and it's rooted into these zero-point fields and higher dimensional space.